Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the writing of St. Luke in the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter, beginning with verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. It was not uncommon in ancient days at the end of a great victory in battle for a community to build a large triumphal arch, often named after the great general that won that war. And that huge archway, this huge monument, stood to remind the people of this tremendous victory and the implications that it had for them. It often depicted scenes of the battle or some of the loot that was brought back from the battle. And so these triumphal arches are still around today, many of them, because they were designed so beautifully and built so well. You can still find ancient arches in Paris and London and Rome, even in China and Greece. It was a very common way to depict this great victory that had been won. These date back to the times of the Etruscans, even before the Roman Empire. The Romans are probably the ones that made them the most popular, hundreds of years before Christ. And it was a way that people could see on a daily basis these arches, these huge monuments, and be reminded of the power and strength of the kingdom in which they lived and of this great victory. Your Lord's ascension into heaven, the Son of God's ascension into heaven, in a sense is our triumphal arch for the church. It is the constant ongoing reminder to us of his tremendous victory on our behalf. And on the fact that we belong to a kingdom, the kingdom of our God, that is above all power and authority in this world. It must have been quite an amazing day for those disciples to witness the physical ascension of their very Lord and our Lord up through the clouds into the heavens. How amazing that must have been. It's hard for artists even to depict it without it looking kind of hokey. It's just amazing to think of his physical body rising up through the clouds into the heavens. We're told they were looking up intently into the sky as he was going. Yeah, I imagine they were. Can you imagine actually getting to see somebody ascend into the heavens? But this event was not just a miraculous event to show Christ's power. It was not just an event to surprise the disciples and give them something to talk about. This event had meaning and purpose for them and for you and me as well. It means that the victory that Christ had come to accomplish is done. That war is over. It means that he has triumphed on behalf of his church. When our Lord Jesus on the cross cried out, "It is finished," that was his proclamation that the sins of the world had now been completely paid for. Let me switch to a different imagery or a different illustration, if you will. Imagine a man who wants to buy a house, and he's trying desperately to make sure that he finds enough money to buy this house. And he goes from bank to bank seeking a loan big enough to cover the cost of the house. And suddenly a very wealthy relative has stepped forward, very wealthy, and has put down the full amount of money to the owner and already purchased the house. But the man is still in a panic mode, going from bank to bank, looking to still see if he can find enough money, hoping that he can still someday be able to buy the house, when here it's already been done and taken care of. You right now, in your heart and mind and conscience, just like myself, we probably all have things in our lives that we look back on that make us wonder, am I really going to get to go to heaven someday? Is it possible that I've done something in my life so big and so heinous and so awful or so frequently that God just cannot possibly forgive that sin? Is there something in my life and in my record that is so huge that it's going to be tough to get past on Judgment Day? Well, the payment for the house of heaven has already been made for you by Christ. That's why he's no longer here. His ascension into heaven is God the Father's way of saying to you, don't worry about any sin that you've had keeping you out of heaven. I've already accepted the payment. It's already done. It's already fulfilled. It's already accomplished. You can spiritually relax. You don't need to go running around looking for something to still pay for. It's already been done by my Son. So by his ascension, Christ now has chosen to interact with us in this world in a different way. The fact that he's ascended into heaven has not made him, if you will, immobile on this earth. There are some Christian churches today that like to say and like to teach falsely that because Christ has ascended into heaven, there's now no more way of him being present here on the earth. That's not the case at all. Our Lord Jesus has simply switched to a different mode, a different way of choosing to be present with his church. When he says to us, the members of his church, as he leaves, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," he's not talking about the way your grandma thinks of you when she's on vacation. He's talking about actually still being physically present with you where his word is taught and preached, and where his sacraments are administered. He is still physically present with his church in a mode and way that we just cannot detect with our eyes. And when he says to us about the blessed bread and wine, this is my body, this is my blood, it's not just there for us to remember him. Yes, that's true too. But it's his actual presence with us in that very wonderful sacramental way. Jesus has not forsaken us, the members of his church, and now gone up and locked himself somewhere in the sky, but he simply chooses to interact with his church in a different way, a very unique and sacramental way. Just think how excited we would be today if we could actually say that Christ physically, the way he was with his disciples, was going to be present here to speak to us today. Tough time finding a seat in here today if that was the case. But he's chosen not to act that way with us anymore. Instead, he has left us his word and sacraments. And by the eyes of faith, we should just get just as excited about them as we do of his physical presence among us. Our Lord Jesus' ascension into heaven is now a prototype of your own future ascension into heaven. It's interesting to look at the reaction of the disciples as they are talking to Jesus before he ascends. The disciples seem to want to invest their mental energy into trying to figure out what's going to happen to Jesus when he returns on the earth, what's going to happen here in the earthly kingdom. Notice that Jesus rather instead directs their thoughts somewhere else. He wants to direct their thoughts to what they should be doing on behalf of his kingdom to make sure that others enjoy the hope that we have in the gospel. A lot of times a person's final words before they leave or possibly even before they die can be very poignant. They often will try to encapsulate some very important truths and pass those on to people. Notice the final words that our Lord Jesus gives to his church before he ascends to heaven. I'll read them again. And he's not just talking to his disciples. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth." This is the signal from the Son of God that we have been left here in this world to carry out this very important work in whatever way we do that, through the support of the ministry of his church. Isn't it wonderful that the final earthly image that we have of our Lord is not descending down into the ground, not floating off out into the sea, not evaporating into thin air, but rather physically ascending to heaven? Because that's the same thing that's going to happen to those of us who by faith hold on to him as our Redeemer. The people living near a triumphal arch were reminded every day that they went by it about the great victory that had been won on behalf of their local nation and kingdom. May the ascension of your Lord Jesus Christ be your constant ongoing reminder of the great victory that you have in this powerful Savior. And may it also embolden you to go out and bring that wonderful message of salvation in Christ to others, so they someday, along with you, can go through that same arch of ascension. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. O Jesus Christ, Almighty Son of God, you are no longer in humiliation here on earth, but are seated at the right hand of the Father, Lord over all things. We beseech you, send us your Holy Spirit. Give your church pious pastors. Preserve your word. Control and restrain the devil and all who would oppress us. Mightily uphold your kingdom until all your enemies have been put under your feet, that we may hold the victory over sin, death, and the devil. Through you who live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.